Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, the 19th of May, 2017. And I have a calendar in front of me that indicates that today is Endangered Species Day. I didn't know that one. I didn't even know we had one. Okay, and the first article has the headline, Arrest Made in April Shooting Death, Dateline Chicago. The U.S. Marshals Task Force in the Chicago area Wednesday arrested Lakeisha Cunningham, 38, of Danville. She was being sought in connection with the April 27th shooting death of Justin Jones, 25, in Danville. Danville Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said Thursday the Marshals Task Force began working with Danville detectives shortly after a warrant of arrest was obtained by Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey. On April 28th, the warrant was issued for first-degree murder and bond set at $1 million. Danville police were called about 12:45 p.m. April 27th to the 1600 block of East Fairchild on April 27th with reports of a suspect shot. Jones was found to be the victim and later died. Cunningham remains in custody in Chicago and her return to Vermilion County is unknown, according to Thomason. Danville police also continue their investigation into the shooting death May 13th of Rodney Crosby, 22. He was killed in a drive-by shooting in the first block of Kentucky Avenue. Preliminary investigations indicated Crosby was on the porch of a residence when a vehicle passed. Those in the vehicle reportedly yelled at Crosby before shots were fired. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to call Danville Police at 431-2250 or use Crime Stoppers at 446-TIPS to speak anonymously. And the next article has the headline, Saluting the Fallen, Officers Paid Ultimate Sacrifice. Dateline Danville, continuing a tradition lasting a half of a century, police officers from across Vermilion County gathered Thursday morning at Sunset Memorial Park to honor law enforcement officers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said in a release that the service is conducted annually during National Police Week to honor those law enforcement officers in Vermilion County who have fallen in the line of duty. According to the release, in 1962, President John F. Kennedy proclaimed May 15th to be National Peace Officers Memorial Day and the calendar week in which it falls on as National Police Week. Established by a joint resolution of Congress in 1962, National Police Week is to pay special recognition to law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty, he said in the release. Speaking at the service, City of Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower gave remembrance to three local officers who died in the line of duty in Vermilion County. As we come together today, we do so not just to memorialize three men who gave up themselves in the ultimate sacrifice, but also as a reminder that each man and woman who takes the oath to serve in our law enforcement departments do so, knowing any call to duty could be their last, he said. We also commemorate what these three men have in common is far more than just the way that they died, but rather how they taught others to live. Danville Police Department Patrolman August Lind was a turn-of-the-century police officer. The city had been through one of the most difficult periods in its history and was just beginning to rebuild following the riots of 1903. Patrolman Lind was sent to a building on South Vermilion Street to investigate a report that burglars were trying to force entry. Two men were found at the back of the saloon, and before he could draw his revolver, one of the men fired upon Officer Lind. The injuries he suffered were too much to overcome in the days following the incident. Lind died April 10th, 1908. Danville Police Department Patrolman David Farnsworth was known as a very quiet man, a thoughtful man, and a deep thinker, Eisenhower said. He became a sworn police officer in July of 1973, and in a short tenure made a lasting impact, both through his service and through his sacrifice. Farnsworth made a nighttime traffic stop on a vehicle being driven at excessive speed, Eisenhower said. Unknown to the officer, the two occupants had just been involved in a robbery. As he stood outside his vehicle with the subjects, the two turned on the officer. Farnsworth died from his injuries January 27, 1976. Vermilion County Sergeant Myron Deckard was described as warm, fun-loving, energetic, the best of friends, a man with a passion for his work that would never quit, and the youngest 72-year-old we had ever met, Eisenhower said. He began his career with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department in January 1972 and was promoted to sergeant in September of 1983. Deckard was making a transfer of his in-custody person from another jurisdiction back to Vermilion County when the individual gained control of the vehicle and crashed it into a field. The prisoner turned on Deckard, who died June 6, 2001. "We keep in our prayers the men and women who face these challenges each and every day," Eisenhower said, "and shall we never forget the three men who gave their life for the protection and service of others. May God bless them, and may God provide comfort to their families." And the next article has the headline, "Soulfest to Return Saturday." Dateline Danville. Area residents can once again enjoy good music and good food Saturday at Soulfest, a free fundraiser concert for a local nonprofit that organizers hope will provide addiction recovery services to the community. Wendy Lambert, president of Soul Garden Recovery Center, said the group made a pretty good profit from last year's event, and we hope to make an even better one this year. She said they're still trying to get a building on Jackson Street for meetings and host fundraisers. Lambert added they're now looking at getting a different location for temporary use until they can acquire the Jackson Street building and immediately start hosting meetings there. She said the group's primary mission is to get addicts off the street and give them a place to go, a safe environment where those with addiction issues can learn new things and learn to stay clean. She also wants Soul Garden to have more integration with other charitable organizations in town, such as Habitat for Humanities, Volunteer Weeding for the Elderly, and other similar adventures. If you have them get involved in other things, they're less likely to relapse, and once people find their calling, they light up like a Christmas tree, she said. It gives them purpose, and they don't want to contaminate their lives with drugs and alcohol. For this year's Soul Fest, she said all of the bands will play free of charge, and Lambert Photography will provide free services for the bands. She also said the following vendors will attend: Damsel in Defense, Farm Girl Fabrications, Sensi, Bolden Chiropractic will offer free massages with a massage chair, Paparazzi Jewelry, Susie Q Concessions, the new owner of Hooligans, and Donna Lillard Shaved Ice Stand. They also have a number of corporate sponsors, including the Truman House, a Terre Haute, Indiana-based recovery center, the Danville Rescue Mission, Day Spring Williams Shelter, Bryant Industries, Mack Twin City Recycling in Champaign, Danville Elks 332, Midwest Veterans Association, Fastenal, and Danville First Assembly of God. She's also said Soul Garden seeks volunteers to fill board member and fundraising committee positions. If we help them and all pitch in together, I think we can change the world, she said. Lambert can be reached at 597-9653. And the next article has the headline, "Students Grow at Middle Fork School." Dateline Tilton. Middle Fork School students are eager to share the plants they've nurtured and grown this year in their school's greenhouse by having a plant sale. The plant sale will run from 1 to 4 p.m. today, that's Friday, and 9 a.m. to noon Saturday at the school, which is located in part of the former Votech building at 15009 Catlin Tilton Road. Plants for sale will include herbs, tomatoes, flowers, hanging baskets of flowers, vegetables, succulents, and houseplants. Proceeds from the sale will go directly back into the school's greenhouse program to buy plant seeds and gardening supplies, Principal Monica Campbell said. This is Campbell's second year as principal at the school that helps kindergarten through 12th grade students who are autistic or have emotional or cognitive disabilities. The serve also The school also serves the regional safe school that houses 6th through 12th graders who have been expelled or are recommended for expulsion from their home school. While at safe school, students can continue to earn credits and learn a vocation, Campbell said. When Campbell arrived at the Middle Fork School in 2015, she was intrigued by the greenhouse that's been on the property for at least 30 years, but hasn't been used in 8 years. I kept looking at it, thinking it would be a great resource for the kids, she said. The greenhouse, however, was in bad shape and needed thousands of dollars in repairs before it could be used again. Campbell applied for and received a John P. Cadel Foundation grant of $10,000 to help cover some of the costs to repair the greenhouse, such as replacing some of the roof and wall panels and the weather stripping around them. The four fans didn't work, but we found out it was just a blown fuse, she said. We weren't able to fix the modulator that controls the humidity, so we have to do some things manually, like water the plants with a hose, but that's good for the students to learn responsibility. Community members also have helped by donating items to the school. Todd Schultz, who closed his nursery last fall, gave the school 2 planting tables and 3,000 little pots, and Ralph Underwood gave the school some plants. We've been able to get everything up and running, Campbell said. The students are reaping the benefits of working in the greenhouse. We use the greenhouse to teach about plants, measurements, and business models, she said. The students love growing the plants and watching them grow. Campbell said sometimes her school unnecessarily gets a bad rap because of her student situations. We're trying to change that image, she said. I don't see, quote-unquote, bad kids here. I see kids with lots of possibilities. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Amber Marie Nicole Campbell. Having gained another angel at 12:25 a.m. Friday, May 12th, with the passing of Amber Campbell, 30 of Westville. A celebration of Amber's life will be at 5 p.m. Saturday, May 20th at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street, Westville, with Pastor Scott McCurdy officiating. Gathering of family and friends will be 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday prior to her service at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be given to her family to help with expenses. And the next is for Margaret Marie Margie Decker, 63, who died on Tuesday, May 16th, 2017. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 20th, that's tomorrow, at Ratterman Funeral Home, 12900 Shelbyville Road, East Louisville, with burial in Cave Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until time of services Saturday at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Kentucky Humane Society in memory of Margaret. And the next is for Brian Hodge, Dateline Hoopston. Brian James, quote-unquote Hodgie Hodge, 47 of Hoopston, passed away at 12:06 Wednesday at Carroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be held from 2 to 6 p.m. Sunday, May 21st at Hoopston Area Middle School Gymnasium, 615 East Orange Street, Hoopston. The funeral service will be held at 1:30 p.m. Monday, May 22nd at the Middle School Gymnasium. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to the Brian Hodge Memorial Fund, care of Hoopston Area High School, 615 East Orange Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. And the next is from Westville. Mary J. Falconio, 87 of Westville, died at 4:10 a.m. Wednesday, May 17th at Presence USMC Center, USMC Danville. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Monday at St. Mary's Church, 231 North State Street, Westville, with Father Timothy Saupe. I'm not sure about that pronunciation. It's S-A-U-P-P-E. Officiating. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park, Danville. Visitation will be from 2 to 6 p.m. Sunday at Sunset Urbis Funeral Home, 414 South State Street, Westville. Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, assisted with arrangements. And the next is for Dorothy Westfall. Dateline Rankin. Dorothy Westfall, 85 of Rankin, died at 9:22 a.m. Thursday, May 18th, 2017. Cremation has been arranged and there will be no services. Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston, is in charge of arrangements. And the next article has the headline, DACC to honor Mervis Miller. Dateline Danville. For the first time in its 70-year history, Danville Area Community College will confer honorary degrees on two community leaders. Louis L. Mervis and Vicki J. Miller were chosen because they have excelled in personal and professional achievements, made significant contributions to the community around them, and inspired others with their life achievements and ability to overcome obstacles. According to a DACC release, these two extraordinary people have conducted themselves and contributed to their community in a manner sure to inspire DACC students and graduates, DACC President Stephen Nacko said in the release. Mervis and Miller will be recognized during commencement exercises at 7 p.m. today, that's Friday, in the Mary Miller Gymnasium at DACC. Mervis is noted as a great American success story who built one of the most prosperous businesses in the Midwest while serving his state and community on boards such as Danville District 118 School Board and the Illinois State Board of Higher Education. He was instrumental in the founding of the Danville Area Economic Development Corporation, now Vermillion Advantage, and the movement to establish Danville Junior College as an independent public junior college and move the campus to its East Main Street location. As a couple, Lou and Sybil Mervis have given of themselves and their resources to support an untold number of community causes, including the Boys and Girls Club, United Way of Danville Area, Danville District 118 Schools, DACC, and the DACC Foundation. The Mervis Family Scholarship has provided assistance to more than 50 DACC students since it was established in 2005. Miller dedicated more than 20 years of service to the DACC Board of Trustees, including 12 as chair. She served in various offices and committees with the Illinois Community College Trustees Association and was a determined advocate and lobbyist on behalf of the community college mission in Springfield. During her tenure, the college added cutting-edge programs such as wind energy technology and NIMS, both of which were among the first in the state at a community college. Under Miller's leadership, the college pursued and successfully gained admission to the nationwide Achieving the Dream Student Success and Completion Initiative. Along with her husband, Doug, Miller has hosted countless fundraising events at their historic Centennial Farm near Indianola and was recognized as a Master Farmer by Prairie Farmer magazine in 2005. The Doug and Vicki Miller Faculty Endowed Chair in Math and Science at DACC provides professional development support critical to faculty recruitment and retention. Honorary degree nominations were submitted in early February and chosen by an 8-member graduation committee. Nomination forms were available on the DACC website and open to all current and former DACC employees, students, and board members, including the DACC Board of Trustees and DACC Foundation Board. No current DACC employee, student or board member was eligible for consideration. And the next article has the headline, Volunteers Plant Vegetables, Herbs at DACC Farm. Dateline Danville. A dozen volunteers answered an appeal to help plant vegetables and herbs Thursday morning at Danville Area Community College's Sustainability Farm. The work took place at a 5.5-acre parcel on North Daisy Lane that is being leased at no cost to DACC for 5 years by owners Christy Herbartos and her husband Jerry Bartos. Herbartos, who serves on the DACC Foundation Board, offered the college the use of the property nearly 2 years ago as a learning site. The college is using the donated land to grow a wide variety of crops and native prairie plants, keep honeybees, and maintain bluebird nesting boxes. The vegetables, fruit, herbs, and honey produced at the farm will be used by DAC's culinary arts program, as well as for DACC students in need. DACC's Agriculture, Biology, Culinary Arts, Environmental Horticulture, and Sustainability programs all have been involved with the farm in some capacity. The College Express construction students built a metal stand for a water tank that holds 1,100 gallons of water to keep the farm's plants watered. DACC students and volunteers Thursday morning planted eggplant and several different varieties of tomato and pepper plants. Lettuce, sweet corn, green beans, and pumpkins will be planted later in the season. Although it wasn't her first time at the farm, DACC biology student Raynon Pettit of Covington, Indiana, said she had a busy morning there. "We planted bush champion tomatoes today and looked at the bees," she said. "I came out here last week to hang owl houses," she said. "It looks a lot different now. Last week it was all muddy." Fellow biology student Brogan Robinson of Danville said, "We laid down 100 yards of tarp today." The vegetable and herbs will become many of the ingredients needed for the farm-to-fork course that starts Monday. During the course, which was taught for the first time late last summer, students learned how to dry herbs and beans, made homemade spaghetti sauce, jellies, and jams, canned vegetables, and dehydrate fruits and vegetables. DAC Environmental Horticulture Instructor Amanda Crabby and Culinary Arts Instructor Dana Wheeler will teach the latest farm-to-fork course that will run through the end of July. Crabby was working at the farm Tuesday morning and wanted to make sure planting the Roma tomatoes was a priority. "We're going to use the Roma tomatoes for spaghetti sauce," adding that the bush champion tomato plants are special because they grow only 2 feet high and don't have to be staked. Wheeler said the farm-to-fork course has been gaining in popularity because there is a renewed interest in using fewer preservatives and taking care of oneself. The latest course will teach students how to make freezer jam, canned salsa, corn, and green beans, and dry herbs, Wheeler said. "We're also going to take a couple of field trips, including one to a creamery in Champaign, to see that process," she said. And now an article with the headline, Longtime Assistant Fire Chief to Retire. Longtime Assistant Fire Chief Tom Pruitt is one of the city employees to take the early retirement incentive from the city. Tom Pruitt, announced through an email late Wednesday morning that effective May 24th, he is taking the buyout from the city after some serious soul searching. As of May 27th, Pruitt would have completed 30 years with the Danville Fire Department. The city's health insurance incentive package for employee retirements was one of the ways the fire department was to save money in its 2017-2018 fiscal year budget. And now there's an editorial with the headline, "Who's Responsible? Look in Mirror." Rodney Crosby's family continues to mourn his death, as do all law-abiding citizens of our community. Crosby was shot and killed by thugs driving by his home, people who have no regard for life. If they did, they would not have fired randomly toward a house with children inside. People know who pulled that trigger. People beyond those who shared the car with the killer know who he is. His friends likely know, and friends of friends probably know by now, too. And every person who knows and keeps the secret is just as responsible for Crosby's death as the person whose finger pulled the trigger. Yet the silence continues. Everyone wants safe neighborhoods. Everyone wants our children to be able to play in their yards without a worry. Everyone wants to be able to enjoy a spring evening on the front porch without worrying whether bullets will fly from the next passing car. The only way that safety can be spread through every neighborhood is if those who know who is responsible for actions such as Rodney Crosby's murder stand up and speak to police. That way, the bad people can be put behind bars. It's not hard to talk, and police don't even need to know who is providing the information. A call to Crime Stoppers, 446-8477, allows a person to remain anonymous when providing information, and callers can qualify for rewards if felons are convicted thanks to their tips. It doesn't take a lot of courage to fire a weapon from the darkness of a passing car. It takes courage to stand up for what's right. Right for Crosby's grieving family, and right for every other city resident. Silence allows the thugs of the world to win. If you know something about Rodney Crosby's murder, show real courage and speak up today. And the next is a sports article with the headline, Mayfield Bounces Back, Senior Thrower Advances to State Along with Hall Williams. Dateline Danville. Coming into his senior season, Danville's Colby Mayfield had a list of goals that basically started and ended with the IHSA Class 3A state meet in Charleston. A year ago, Mayfield made his first ever appearance against the top throwers, and he was hoping to cap his high school career with another shot at a state medal. But that almost didn't happen for Mayfield. A trio of injuries and the mental strain of facing his possible final high school athletic event had the Danville two-sport standout thinking it over. Honestly, after the prelims, I didn't think I was going back to state, said Mayfield, who was sitting in third place with only the top two guaranteed spots at next week's state meet. My dad, my brother Keith Mayfield, all of my throwing teammates, and my friends just kept encouraging me. I was worrying too much about the weather, thinking it was going to rain. Everything negative was just running through my head. After a nearly one-hour delay because of lightning in the area, Mayfield went into the finals with a completely new attitude. On his second of three attempts in the finals, he got off a toss of 51 feet, 10 and a quarter inches, going from third to first. I've got to credit my roommates, my friends, and my family for that. They believed in me. Mayfield is one of three individual state qualifiers for the Vikings, who will also be taking their 3,200-meter relay team, which took seventh in last year's 3A state meet. We are really proud of what Colby accomplished today, Danville coach Steve Luke said. He fought through all the adversity that he had faced this year and got himself in position to go back to state. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, May the 19th, 2017. I look forward to reading with you again soon.